I'm going to start. If you guys think of questions, you'll ask. I got a phone call the other day.
What?
I got a phone call. Person I know. Wasn't feeling well. Went to the doctor. They discovered he has a type of tumor which they can't cure. He has malignancies that affected his blood. I don't understand exactly how it works. Bottom line, the doctors told him they anticipate that he has approximately 3 months left. So the guy calls me up. Just got back from the doctor. This is what he heard. What do you answer? What do you tell the guy? It's been nice knowing you. What do you say? Guy calls up. He just found out from the doctors he has 3 months left to live. He happens to be a very, very fine person. He adopted children, literally. He's taken, he's one of the finest people I know. Doesn't know much about being more than that. He grew up somewhere in the U.S. where they have no concept of orthodoxy. He doesn't know what it means to keep Torah and mitzvot. But he's a very nice person. I mean, he adopted orphans off the street. He brought up kids. He's literally invested his life in humanity. He was a doctor throughout his life. And now the doctors tell him he has 3 months left to live. What do you tell him?
Live the life before it's too late.
What should he do now? He has 3 months left. Yeah, his children are grown up. His youngest child is already here in the army in Israel. He's already 20 years old. It's not like he has what to worry about. I think he has life insurance. I think his wife is okay. I mean, finance he doesn't have to worry about. What do you tell the guy? He's got 3 months left.
Study the Torah. Hashem will help you.
And that's what you tell? What do you say, Daniel? I wasn't prepared for this question either. I pick up the phone and this is the call I get.
Have a nice life.
That's what I asked. You say it's been nice to know you. I'll attend your funeral. I'll speak nicely at your funeral.
How do you feel about
that? You'd ask me how you feel. So I'll tell you. I feel terrible. I'll tell you exactly the truth. I feel terrible. What do you mean? In 3 months I'm dead. What do you mean? That's what you'd ask?
You got a headache or something?
No, he wasn't feeling
well. Good.
He thought it was a virus, he was weak, he didn't know. He went, they did blood tests, one thing led to another. That's where he ended up. After all the series of tests.
How old were you?
I don't know his exact age.
But
I give him about 50. Not so old.
I don't know. I
don't know what I would say. So I asked the guys a question. I said, if you guys have questions, we'll discuss your questions. But the question I asked them was, not too long ago, I got a phone call from a friend of mine. The man is in his 50s. And after a series of tests, they discovered he has a certain type of tumor and some kind of growth in his blood. I don't know exactly how it works. Bottom line, the doctors say he has approximately 3 months left to live. And he heard this a short time ago. And he calls me up and he tells me he comes back from the doctor's office. This is what he heard. And I'm asking you, what do you tell a person like this? Ellie, what do you say?
Maybe you ask if it has like something you wanted to do but haven't done, and it's like not too impossible, like go to Google. It's probably possible, but something you can still do.
Remind me your name?
Dan.
What do you say then? What do you tell a person like that?
I say the same thing. Enjoy. You have 3 months. Enjoy
that. They assume the last month he won't be able to do anything. The last month he'll probably be on morphine.
Enjoy the last time.
Enjoying the
what?
What
can you do?
Skulle du sagt så till en av dina polare som har 3 miljoner kvar att leva? Lev ditt liv! Ja. Skulle du sagt så?
Vad ska jag säga?
Ingenting, du kan inte säga någonting.
Dels säger jag ingenting. Det är bättre att säga det som Newtons demonologi som är
rädd.
Well, he asked you for advice, or he only like...
He called and laid the phone on the table. Now there's silence on the phone. What am I supposed to say?
What did you
Oh, we'll get to that. Wait, I might even take you guys to meet him. Right now we're holding it month number 2. Meaning next month they anticipate he'll be in hospital completely on morphine. The last month they don't anticipate there'll be anything. Meaning they expect it'll get worse and maybe we'll actually meet him. But I'm curious what you guys think we should say. What do you say?
I would say I would call you back, and then I would call my rabbi and ask him for advice. Because they are pretty smart. No, I probably would.
Okay. So let's switch around the roles for a minute. And let's, I'll tell you what I did as we were in conversation. Let each person think, if he were in that person's shoes, what would he want to be told? I mean, let's not take the role of the guy who's getting the phone call, but let's ask ourselves, what would I want to hear? Now, that's not always what the other person wants to hear, but at least it's a start. What do you say, Dan? You'd want someone to tell you what movie do you want to go see? Let's go see a movie? I'm saying, you said, but that's what you think a person should be told. What did you want? What fun thing did you want to do in life? Let's see if we could get it. Now, I understand that for a 7-year-old, that's a good answer. But for a man who has children and grandchildren and... Yeah, there's... What? No. Okay, we discussed that earlier. But now, he's here, he made Aliyah a few years ago. He's here in Israel, he's worked as a doctor all his life. And now, this is the situation he's in. And he understands exactly what's going on. He himself, he was in the medical world. Mm-hmm. So now, what do you tell a guy?
Can you tell a person who's dying? You can ask, have you lived a good life? Is it time? And if it doesn't live, then you can talk about stuff. There's no really good answer to this. If a person's going to die, what am I going to do with the last few months? There's not a good... There's no good answer for that.
What do you say?
I don't know.
Let me ask you a different question. Do you guys think that the Nazis should have been brought to trial?
If.
The Nazis, they lost the war. Should they have been brought to trial?
Yes.
Why? Atrocities?
No, crime against humanity.
So let's take a step back. If your son comes to you and says, I want to join the Islamic Jihad, I've gone to some rallies, I think it's true, I think they're right, they've been unfairly persecuted for centuries now, that's what I want to join. What do you answer?
Talk through everything and try to talk him out of it.
He's convinced that's what's right.
Then you have to convince him to another.
Maybe he'll convince you that he's right.
Yeah.
But he can't convince me.
Why?
Because I know it's wrong.
Is there really right and wrong in the world?
Yes.
What defines what's right and wrong? Why? So he defines that Islamic Jihad is right. So you define that your way is right. Why are you more correct than he is?
Because I'm me.
Because he is the father.
Yeah, so when your son is 18, he'll be exactly where you are now.
But I know better than my father, and I'm not 18.
So you're 22. So when you're 22, fine.
But I'm still taking parts from my time. Because if I don't know anything to 100% that it's right,
okay, so you'll ask your father. He's not asking. He's come to the conclusion that that's what's right. And you don't sound like you have any conclusion. You don't sound too firm. You ask your father. So you ask your father, and he's not asking his father. Why should he listen to you? I'm asking logic. Gentlemen, I hope you won't be faced with this, but let's be realistic. Why not? Kids today come in Israel, kids who grew up in religious homes, they go to pubs, they go to bars, sometimes they're working at the supermarket, and the guy who's bagging the goods is a very nice and friendly Arab, and the girl who's behind the cash register grew up in a very nice Jewish home, and he invites her out to coffee, and they go out, and we don't have a week that we don't get phone calls about girls that got engaged, got married, moved off to an Arab village. And they grew up very strong Orthodox. They grew up going only to Jewish day schools and Jewish high schools and learning everything. And at the end of the day, the guy was very nice. He invited her out. He took her out. He cares for her. He loves her. He speaks very nicely and sweetly. And you know what? It happened to Yaakov's daughter. We know Yaakov Avinu, one of the patriarchs, Jacob, had a daughter named Dinah. And even though she was abducted by Shechem, she was taken against her will, she liked him. She didn't want to leave his castle. Her brothers had to drag her out. I mean, they made a war to take her back, but at the end of the day, she liked Shechem. She wasn't leaving. They had to take her by force. So if that could happen to Yaakov's daughter, let's not kid ourselves. What answers are you going to give your children? Your son's going to say, Dad, why are you Jewish? And what are you going to say? Because your father was?
You're giving him an answer.
What kind of answer is that? What?
I was born Jewish. I like the...
So fine, you're from the old generation. I'm not interested. So I was born Jewish and I'll advance in life. I'm going to go and explore. Let me see what the Dalai Lama tells me. If he recommends Judaism, maybe I'll go for it. And if not, maybe not. No problem.
If you go and study, if you are Jewish and you want, oh, how is it to be a Christian? Then you can go study the Christian religion if there's something you like more than the Jews.
Go for it. Okay. And if it's Islamic Jihad, well, also go for it.
But,
and if it's fascist Germany, go for it.
But it's, you can't
really compare.
No.
Why?
There's a two totally different thing. There's a fundamentalist in the race groups. You can't compare it to the joint Christian group and or Buddhism.
Have you studied history?
Yeah, but you can't really compare
it. And what the unless you're discerning between the Christians in the last century and the Christianity until the last century, I don't know. Christians, I didn't say they're bad people. I didn't say they're bad. I'm just saying you're discerning because they're racist. And when the Christians wanted to kill Jews because they were Jews, that's not racist. And when the Christians helped out the Nazis, that's not racist. And when the Christian church itself apologized for what it did with the Nazis, I'm saying, so are you discerning between Christianity today and Christianity for the last millennium? Or are we talking about the same Christianity? You could say that it's different. Fine, that's a different question. I'm just asking. We're also not discerning between Protestant, Catholic. We're not going into depth there. I'm just posing the question. Being that you guys are saying that truth and good and bad, well, do what you think is right. So beforehand, I think you mentioned there is a true good. There is a right and a wrong in the world. And I'm not sure if we're all in agreement on that. So that's what I'm trying to understand. Is there something that's right and something that's wrong? Or is it just a question of, well, I was born Jewish, so I'm Jewish. And my son, if he decides I don't buy it, so fine, so be it.
So if your son wants to convert to be a Muslim, you will let him?
I'm willing to answer that question, but I don't want to yet. I want to hear what other guys answer.
But what is the question now? What is right or wrong, or how do you define right or wrong?
I'm asking, firstly, Daniel, what do you say to a child that says, I want to join Islamic Jihad? Or fascist Germany, or Christianity, or Islam? He wants to say there's a difference, so let's take each one for its face value.
Why?
What do you tell them? Yeah, because it makes sense to me, because they're really the good people. I see they're nice, they're sweet, they're good. They take you into the house and they're nice. They don't bring you into Torah B'Tzion and make you sit down through boring lectures. They're nice people. They're exciting. They have daggers. They have training camps, and they're fighting for the underdog. Look, when we were the underdog, people helped us. They're the underdog, let's go help them. I'm not making up these claims. These are claims, you go online, you'll see a lot of people making them. So now, what are you going to say when your kids come to you and say, Dad, why should I be Jewish? It's very nice. You helped the underdog in your time. You were part of the security force. Now I want to help the underdog. I'm going to go to Palestine or to the Gaza Strip or the West Bank, but let me help them out. And if you guys think I'm making this up, just go online and do a search. How many Jewish people are volunteering out in Gaza and the West Bank? Maybe it's not so common in Sweden, but in England and Britain it's very common. And here in Israel it's also very common. So I'm asking a very basic question. Forget Torah for a second. I'm not talking Torah, I'm not talking religion. I'm talking you. Every one of you, going back home, being parents, running a family, however you want to advance in life. More religious, less religious, yes Jewish, not Jewish. I'm not talking about Judaism now. I'm talking about your life, your parents, you as parents. You with children. What are you going to tell your children?
I won't tell my father that question. I want to convert to be a Muslim.
Let's see what other guys have to say. What do you say, Danny?
Myself, I would come and say
that we're Muslim. I'm asking you, yeah.
I would show them history. Show them that they hate him. And then I would take him to, like, Syria.
But they don't. Now they love him.
Throw stones at him.
But now they love him. You know how many Jews are in him? What?
It will not happen that much.
So if it's Christianity, it's okay?
No.
The Christians welcome him? But the Christians are going to say, come, just convert. That's the Christians' goal in the world, to convert every Jew to a Christian. They won't hate him, they'll love him.
Yeah, but
they'll make him into a priest. You know how many Jews became priests?
They shouldn't go out with the people.
One second, you're talking about truth? There's truth in religion? Which religion has truth?
What I heard, it was Judaism.
So your son will say, and I heard it was Islam. You heard, so I heard.
Yeah,
okay.
So study them both and see what you think is the truth.
So he told you, he studied and he came to the conclusion it's Islam.
Islam?
That's his conclusion.
Then I would show him that they don't want him.
So show me. They do want him. Who told you they don't want him?
I'll
let you tell you a story. I have a lot of people, I teach in a home near it. So we have all kinds of people come through there. One guy came through there, and a year ago he decided. He had some psychological issues, and so the court said they're not letting him make Aliyah, they're not letting him convert to Judaism. He couldn't prove whether he was born Jewish or not. He always thought he was Jewish, but then it turned out he couldn't prove that he was Jewish, so he needed to convert in order to make Aliyah. The courts here in Israel said, we don't know, you're a little weird, go back to America. We don't want you here, we're not letting you make Aliyah, we're not letting you convert. He said, you tell me I'm weird, you're weird, I don't care. He went, joined fanatic group, and I have pictures, you guys want to see that, unless I deleted them, of him in Palestinian territory telling them, we're just waiting for you to overthrow the Zionist state. And you should see what a welcome he gets. The tables are set lavishly for him. If a Jew will come to Muslims and tell them, I'll join you guys, you know how much they'll welcome him? I'll show you. I have pictures online. I have an email. He was so proud of what he did that I have pictures. He sent me an email of himself with a big Palestinian flag behind him. Him and three other,
girls that goes to Muslim homes here in Israel and in villages, and they put oil on them and they light them up, and that's the welcome they get.
Fine. So that's so you'll show mad about that, but I'm saying there'll be other groups, so Christianity will accept him. Let's go with what you're saying. I don't agree with you, but let's say he won't be accepted. But so if he wants to join Christianity, it's okay, because the church will welcome.
Yeah, you can look at it. I would think he would change his mind. I have a cousin that did the same in the Buddhism, and now he's a rabbi.
I also have a friend who did it with Buddhism, and now he's back. But that's not my point. My point is that that's your answer to your kids. Go explore. That's the answer.
Yes, they have to explore it.
Okay. I hear you. What do you say, Ellie?
I don't know.
I think it's also about how you raise if you're a child. It's like, I know my family has been like concentration camps, they were very like into being Jews. I don't think that would happen to my son.
He'll say, they were in concentration camps. Look at the camps in Gaza and the West Bank. Why is it any different? Wait. You guys see the news yesterday?
No.
You have internet though, no? Oh no, the internet's down. So the Turkish president got up in the World Economic Forum and said, started cursing out the State of Israel and Shimon Peres. And he said, you guys murdered innocent women and children. Live. No embarrassment. A president could get up and say it. So, if he could say it, and he gets a hero's welcome when he comes back to Turkey, why can't your son believe it?
But didn't he leave the convention as well?
He left in protest.
Yeah.
He left in protest. And he was welcomed back, a hero's welcome, yeah.
But that's not like he's saying his opinion. He just like said it and then he left.
He said it, and when Shimon Peres responded and everyone applauded his response, he got up and left. But I'm just saying, if the president of Turkey can say it, so why should your son not go in line with that, call it logic, but with that claim?
Because
then what do you say?
Hopefully our sons will have more in their brain than the Muslims have.
Forget Islam, let's go to Christianity. Atheist, agnostic. If he wants to join the satanic cult,
Christian people are like Muslims. I can just take my seat as an example.
What do you say then?
My son wants to explore. Let him. He wants, and hopefully he will go back to Judaism in real life. But if he wants to explore and find what makes him happy, I can't stop him.
I didn't say you can't stop him. I asked him, what do you want? What do you tell him? I'm not saying you should stop him and tie his hands and say, no son, you're staying here. I'm asking, what do you tell him? He's coming and saying, I want to join Islamic Jihad. You're in the security force and you know that tomorrow he might be one of those that are trying to bomb the synagogue or the Jewish center. Now what are you telling him?
I really like that you compare Islamic Jihad with Christianity and Buddhism and Hinduism. I don't really think that's something to compare. But if something if you want to join something fundamentalistic or something that I know is not good, I would of course talk to them. This is what these people do.
Okay, and he believes in it. Now what?
I say, tell me about what you have heard from them, and I want to hear what you have heard. I want to hear him explain I want to know why.
Very simple. They've been persecuted. They're entitled to their rights. If they don't get it by a peaceful way, they have to do it by force. The State of Israel also came by force. They also killed out Arabs. They also killed. They also murdered. They also kicked people out of their homes. What's he doing different than the State of Israel?
We gave them a chance. We gave them a chance.
They also give you a chance. Come to the peace table, give us the land of Israel back, go all into the Mediterranean, and we'll have peace. What's the problem?
They didn't want to have peace with us.
Sure they want to have peace. Just give us back the land. You took the land from us. What do you mean they don't want peace? Sure they want peace.
But they're
peace-loving people. They have no choice. They're being set up in these concentration camps in Gaza and West Bank
But they're not concentration camps.
Were you ever there?
A concentration camp. Compare them to Auschwitz and Birkenau. You compare them with them.
They compare them. President of Iran compares it.
6 million people were killed in those camps.
They're not being killed, but they're given pestilence and the 10 plagues all in one little camp. Fine. Don't call it a concentration camp. But bottom line, refugee camp. Call it that. Fine. What do you say?
Wasn't he Jewish?
Yeah, but the question is, do you have any answers for him? Of course you can't force him to be Jewish. But what are you telling him?
It's a bad choice.
So I want to go with you. We asked two questions today. We asked, what do you tell a person who discovers he's terminally ill and has 3 months left to live? We asked, what do you tell a child who comes and says he wants to join the Islamic Jihad? Let's go on a journey together. Let's go to Midtown Manhattan and the year is 1997. Okay? 12 years ago, Midtown Manhattan. The hour is 4:30 in the afternoon, and the subway transit system is about to transfer over 5 million people back to their homes from a day of work. It's a humid, sweltering hot day. People are filing into the subways are jam-packed, and most of the subways have to go through Midtown Manhattan. Most of the subways, if they're going north to Queens, if they're going south and east to Brooklyn, most of the subways have to go through the terminal, what was once known as the World Trade Center terminal. And you have a subway that's packed. Each subway carries thousands of people, and one person runs up to the conductor of that train and says, "Stop. Don't move forward with the train. I just saw a cat walk onto the tracks. If you mow over that cat, I will sue the New York transit system for inhuman practices against animals." So the conductor says, "Lady, I got a train filled with people here. If I don't move this train, the train behind me stuck in the tunnel ain't coming to the stop either. If I don't move the train behind her ain't coming either. You know how many people you're delaying? And if we pause the train right here, at this stop, you know how we're going to stop the whole subway system until we get someone down here who could actually go on the tracks and take out that cat? You know what you're doing to the transit system?" The lady says, "I don't care. You move, I sue. Get someone down here and take out the cat. You can't just mow over a cat. You put together all the tens of thousands of people we're delaying now for 10 minutes, however long it'll take, and they can't bring life back to planet Earth. After you mow over that cat, no one can bring back that cat to life. Everyone working together will never be able to bring that cat back. Don't you move this subway." Conductor says to himself, "You know, she says she's going to sue. What do I need the responsibility on my head for? I don't need my boss to say throwing it against me." He calls his boss, the head of the station, and says, "This is what's going on. Do I move the train or don't I move the train?" The boss says, "What do I need the responsibility for? No way." Throws the responsibility up to the one on top of him. Now you understand this takes time. The train is standing at the station. People are standing in, it's really hot in the subway. It's hot and humid. And people have babysitters. They're relying on this, that they're going to get home, pick up their kids. They have kids finishing in school, finishing in daycare. The New York transit system for 25 minutes was frozen because no one wanted to take the responsibility of telling that conductor to move forward. Until they finally brought someone down, went in, fetched the cat, and the system continued. Now this hit the news because everyone heard that they're all being detained. You're talking, it hit the extent that at the time they were talking about over 100,000 people being detained because of this one cat. Now, the second the people started discussing it on the news, so the question came up, well, who was right? Do you mow over a cat so that 100,000 people could get home on time? Or do you say, like this lady said, "What are you doing? All 100,000 people can't bring life back to that cat. That's life on this earth. You don't just mow over a cat for 100,000 people." And you'd hear on the radio station people vehemently claiming this way and that way. And so I posed the question to you. Who was right? The lady who yelled at the conductor, or the conductor who said, "I can't delay 100,000 people just for one cat." Yeah, what do you say, Daniel?
Can't delay.
Mow over the cat. Who cares if she's gonna? Well, one little cat, so what? So she's mowed over, so she'll suffer a little bit, but 100,000 people have to get home. Yeah, that's what you say.
Yeah, humans are more important than animals.
Humans are more important than animals. Why are we more important than animals? Because we're more sophisticated than that, because we run the transit system. So if animals were running the transit system and they'd want to mow over humans, we'd also say, yeah, okay, they're running the transit system. Aren't we just a more sophisticated animal?
But if you drive the train slowly, the cat will be afraid and run to the next stop.
You don't have a picture of how many miles the transit system covers.
It will go, but at least you're moving.
Okay, that's an original response. That one I never got. What do you say?
Save the cat.
Save the cat. You see? Save the cat, he says. Why do you say save the cat?
Because the humans are not more important than the animals.
So you're vegetarian, I take it.
No.
You eat the cats, but you don't mow over the cats?
I don't eat the cats.
You don't eat the cats, but you eat. Why is a sheep or an ox less important?
Because that's the world's circle. It's the same. The animals eat animals. If a lion eat antelope and the rest over from the antelope be into grass and the antelopes eat the grass, and there you have the life circle.
The ecosystem. So you want to maintain the ecology. If we don't eat the animals, then so it's for whose benefit? I want to understand. We're helping Mother Nature. Why are we eating animals?
Why?
Yeah, why? I understand there's an eco. Ah, you need it? Why do you need it? If you get shots of B12. No, wait a second. You could be vegetarian. You'll get B12 vitamin shots. You'll eat your protein by eating cashews and peanuts. You don't need to eat animals.
But then you need like medicine.
So you kill an animal because you need medicine. This is the man who doesn't want to run over a cat. Wait a second. He won't run over the cat for 100,000 people. But
you start eating animals, I would shoot the cat.
What?
We start eating animals 7 years ago before we had these vitamin shots.
Fine, so why continue? We've evolved. We're better people. Or we should strive to be better people, no?
There's nothing to say it's wrong.
Wait, we go one at a time. Let's just go around. I hear what you're saying. One second. So you're saying run over the cat, but don't run over the cat, but do eat animals. What's the difference?
It's a big difference.
One is
because if I kill an animal, I do it because I need it, because I need to eat.
Need it? Yeah. But you only eat meat when you need it. Really?
Exactly. I don't.
How many times a week do you need meat, medically? I'm saying, if you're only doing it when you need it, I assume you know when you really need it.
5 times a week.
5 times a week, you think you need to eat meat. I think you should check the facts. That's not what I hear. I really eat meat less times a week because I don't think I need it. Say there, what's the difference? I'm saying check the research.
It's a big difference because you don't eat that much meat as the rest of the world.
Right?
You can't compare Israel to Sweden, example, because you eat milk in the morning, then just this big piece of meat to the lunch, and then milk and to dinner. You don't do that in Sweden or Denmark or Norway.
But who said that's healthier? You're saying you eat what you need.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I want meat, I can get meat.
What do you say, Ellie?
About...
I'm saying you mow over the cat for 100,000 people, or do you say no? Cat's life, it's important.
You are not allowed to kill.
I understand, just eat.
For fun.
For fun, not. Okay, I hear.
But I kill flies.
You don't kill flies. No. You lie to sleep and mosquitoes come
really
and.
What do you really say?
I don't kill them. Mosquitoes.
You hit him. If he dies, it's his problem.
But he don't die.
What you really should do is have a vote over the 100,000 people. That is not possible. So someone wants to decide for everyone for that big amount of people. That you can't do. But you don't know if there's someone who relies on someone's health to be on time that day. You don't know that. You can't take that responsibility.
I hear.
What do you say, Ellie? How do they know there's a cat there?
The woman comes and says, "So the cat." You don't believe her?
And then if the cat said, "I didn't see the cat," how do you know it's true?
I hear. What do you say then? What, you want to say something else? I heard about the book. Okay, then.
I agree. If the cat, if you should help the cat. But on the meanwhile, you don't know what's going to happen with all those people who can't wait. Maybe you're in time for a very important meeting. You can.
It's more important than a cat.
Yeah.
Their future.
Their jobs are more important. My job would be more important than a cat.
I have easily.
Not with you then.
Yeah. If they can be so many delays, they can. Like have consequences that one person maybe needs to get a job and he has a whole family that he has to support, and if he misses his job, he needs to pay his tax.
But still, if you kill that one,
so bottom line, you say no over the cat because people have lives which are more important than a cat's lives.
I said
more important to say one person, it's more important to say two persons' life than one person's life.
So I'm asking if their lives are in danger. Or
maybe they are.
Maybe, because you're saying maybe, and why, and now if it were one person versus one cat, then who's more important, the person or the cat?
Person.
A human being is more important than a cat? Why?
Because of human people and how do you say, the
intuition. So maybe we're given intelligence to take care of the cats. Maybe that's why God granted us intelligence. So because we're more intelligent, so we're more important. And if we'll find a lion that's more intelligent than a human. So then if he could figure out a way to eat us all, then he could eat us all. No problem.
No, because it's not biologically produced to be that intelligent. So it doesn't count.
So intelligence is what makes us better?
Because
we're more intelligent?
No,
it's because it's the same race as us.
Yeah.
I didn't follow, huh?
The same race as us.
So we're racist now?
Yeah.
Ah. Dan, you hear that? He's racist. Dan doesn't like racists. I haven't said anything yet about what I think. I haven't even begun talking. I think my feeling is that you guys have heard enough. So I want to hear what you have to say. Because you guys, first I want to hear what you have to say. I don't know if I'll have anything to say when we're done. But first I want to hear what you have to say.
I've said a lot already.
What do you say?
Kill the cat.
Why?
Because humans are more important.
What makes us more important? What?
You're smarter.
Just because you're smarter? And if they discover that dolphins are smarter than humans, and then we have a dolphin that needs a kidney transplant or a human that needs a kidney transplant, you give it to the dolphin because he's smarter?
No.
Why not?
Worry about humans.
Why do you worry about the human?
He's human, so am I.
So? What does Torah have to do with it? Like he says, don't bring the Torah to this. What does Torah have to do with it?
It is a racial
So basically what I understand from you is that we care about our species. So if there's a white man or a black man that needs a liver, you give it to the white man first?
No, because I mean both you.
We're both human, but we're a different race. He's saying we should all be racist.
No, listen. People who have made ranks and races, let's say what was his name? The Swedish guy who made flowers.
Linnaeus.
He made this a ranking of who are the best, human beings. So shit.
And then
what he describes lower down, that they're less intelligent, that they're stupid, that they're clumsy, that's why he made it.
So let me ask you a simple question. A person is created...
We see them as...
So a person's created retarded. We could eat him?
No.
Why not?
Because he's...
He's less intelligent. So what if he's human? But he's not as intelligent. I don't understand.
These guys are
not
capable of being smarter.
Right? He's
supposed to be smarter.
Okay, let's ask you a different question. You guys know there's a concept called anencephalus? There are babies that have spina bifida. It's a situation where a baby could be born, something's lacking from the spine, so sometimes a baby could be born and part of the spine is protruding, sometimes a baby could be born and then removal of cephalus, of his brain. A baby could be born that he has no brain, he only has a brain stem. No brain, zero. We eat him for lunch, make hamburgers out of that baby?
Yes.
Yes, very good. Why not? No, I don't understand. You guys realize that what you're saying is Nazi Germany. You know that the direction we're headed with race is Nazi Germany. You kill the retarded. And so I'm just saying, if the reason we can eat animals is because we're more intelligent, so a baby that's born missing most of his brain can be eaten for lunch. Yeah,
no,
that's
but
what
we're doing. Eat him for lunch when he's a baby. We won't kill him or something.
This morning. Yeah. Excellent. Right? Exactly. So that's what we're saying, right? Makes no the issue of whether to eat a human being or not is a question of intelligence. You guys feel like because a retarded person has a brain, so therefore you shouldn't eat him, but a person that's born without a brain should be eaten for lunch. Yeah, that's the conclusion.
No.
Why not?
Because it's human.
Levanti, huh?
It's human.
So what's human about him? I don't understand.
It's like it's DNA.
So what if he's human? I don't get it.
Why should you eat I understand lions don't eat lions, elephants don't eat elephants, stuff like that. Why should we be animals?
So it's a biological thing. We shouldn't be different than animals.
But they don't eat each other.
So I'm saying, so it's a biological thing. That's what you're saying. We just shouldn't eat our own kind.
What do you think if let's say a smart animal, let's say a dog, or elephant?
I'm saying,
there's a dog
that's very smart, yeah.
And he sees a dog in danger.
Yeah.
And he sees a cat, and let's say like a bird in danger. And let's say this dog is he's smart enough to know that this one is calling for help and this one is calling for help.
Right.
And this dog is a helpful dog. He's trained and he helps.
Right, yeah.
Where do you think he's going?
Where would or where should? Our question is where should, not where would.
Where
you guys have decided that would equals should.
Where,
not
would,
understand
where would
that.
Do you think he would go?
He would go? He'd probably go for the dog.
Yes.
Unless he wants to eat the cat.
That's
animalistic.
You protect your own,
so that's like it's animalistic. That's the idea, yeah? So we're all animals. We're just a different type of animal. And is an orangutan a human too? Because they have intelligence. They have high intelligence. An orangutan we could eat. I mean, if they serve orangutan meat, we could eat orangutan. Why? Why can we eat orangutan? Why? Because he's so similar to human. Okay, so let's pause and permit me 5 minutes, and then we'll have to call it a day because we're out of time. We have a little bit more than 5 minutes, but I'll tell you a little bit, going with the things you guys have said, where these things could hit. So there were people who said that really we go by intelligence, and therefore they said we should kill out all the people who are not intelligent, or maybe we should just make a supreme race and develop that supreme race so that humanity develops, and then kill out people of a lower race. They were called Nazis. That was part of their philosophy. That's why Hitler hated blacks. That's why Hitler said that people who are retarded should be killed. That's why Hitler hated gypsies. Why was he a murderer? So firstly, let's take 10 steps back. Is there anything wrong with having a slave? Is there anything wrong with owning a slave?
Yes.
If it's against the
law,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know you guys are Swedish, but we have to recognize something. I grew up in America. I'm not American, but I did grow up in the United States. We have to recognize that the United States did move the world 10 steps forward. When they established a democracy, so that evolved, that affected the whole world. And the founding fathers of the United States, one of them was Thomas Jefferson. You've heard of him, right? You know, he had a slave. So, was he a good person or a bad person?
Bad person.
Thomas Jefferson was a bad person because he had a slave.
It depends on the treatment.
It depends on how the world view was then about the slave.
No, that's what I was writing there, right? The world view. If the world at that time viewed being a good person as having a slave, so what can you expect from the man? He did the best he could in light of those times, no? Isn't that legitimate? In his time, that's what the world viewed as a good person. What was he doing wrong? He went in line with the world view of being good. No? Isn't that fair? So let's take something else. Let's go back 2 centuries ago, 3 centuries ago, where the world view was women were stupid and illiterate, and they had no potential better than that. And just like you have to educate your kids, you have to educate your wife. And just like sometimes if your kid goes out of line, you give them a whack or two or ten. If your wife goes out of line, you give her a whack or two or ten. So the way the average marriage looked 200 years ago would be called an abusive marriage today. Not in Judaism, by the way. If you're ever curious, I'll tell you what the halacha says about that. In Judaism, it was never that way. Never. I mean, the only ones who behaved that way were those who were unlearned. So they went with the times. So that's why the sages said, don't marry off your daughter to someone who's not learned, because they'll beat her up the way
the rest of the world does. But in Judaism, you're not supposed to do that. But if you're not learned and you're illiterate, so you don't know that. So that was, those were the Am Haaretz. So that's why the Talmud says a person shouldn't marry off his daughter to an Am Haaretz, because he might just beat her up. So a person who beat his wife 3 centuries ago was a bad person. There were no good people 3 centuries ago. Only today we have good people. Right? Is that what we're saying?
We don't have good people today.
We don't have good people today either. Okay. Bad, bad world we live in. Everyone's bad.
They will say they did this and this. They were bad people.
Ah. So there are no good people in the world. Everyone's bad. What do you say then?
Everyone is good and bad.
I don't understand. I want to be a good person today. People wanted to be a good person 3 centuries ago. What can you tell a person who wants to be good? He wants to be a good person. What are you going to tell him? So I'm saying they thought it was good to beat up your wife. That's what the world said. What did they do wrong? You know the Puritans, when they came into the United States, to the new land? So they had a special tool. If a woman spoke disrespectfully to her husband, he could take her to the authorities, and they'd put her in the center of town, and they'd have a clamp that they'd close on her tongue, and she'd stand there in shame for a few hours, just like they had that thing where you put over a person's head in his arms. So too, she'd stand there with her tongue stuck out to rebuke her for talking disrespectfully to her husband. That was the norm. That was the law. They wanted to be good people. Were they or weren't they? And when they killed in the Salem witch trials, when they took the girls and they said they were witches, so they threw them in the river. And if they drowned, so they said, ah, so then they weren't witches. But if they didn't drown, they said, you see, that's a sign. They're using their witchcraft not to drown. And then they'd kill them. So were they good or were they bad? All they wanted to do was abolish witchcraft and sorcery. They said, we have to get rid of cruel people.
They were bad and stupid.
Yeah. How are they bad? They were doing the best they could. How are we any better today? We're also doing the best we can. And good old Daniel told us here that to be a good person means to take the laws of the time and figure out what's good.
Not only the laws of the time, because you cannot ignore if everybody like would become Nazis, you cannot also be just because everybody has it. You have to think.
Why not? Why? Why? Explain to me.
You cannot put harm on another person and think you're still a good person. You cannot hit somebody and say that, oh no, you deserved it because you spoke.
I don't understand. Wait. There are people and then there are women. Right?
No, wait.
So come on. It was a given. The law up until 100 years ago all over the world was that women couldn't own land. So you're talking about people. There are people and then there are blacks. Look at the laws all over the world. Blacks didn't have representation. They couldn't own land. It was a given. So you guys said you would eat an orangutan. Well, the world would have said maybe we'll eat a black. Because it was very obvious that there are people, and then there are women, and there are people, and then there are blacks. So if you have no better definition than intelligence, then the world said, well, women aren't so intelligent, and they're illiterate, and you could eat women, or you can't eat women. That was cannibalism, that. But you don't have to respect a woman. After all, she's only a woman, and women weren't taught how to read or write or anything else. Going with the rules you guys all said a few minutes ago, the world said, yeah, there are people, and then there are women, there are people, and then there are blacks. So, what's wrong?
The world opinion changed now, women doesn't understand anything, and there are only women, not persons. Would you start to hate your wife?
I'm asking, if a person wants to be a good person, and the world is of the opinion that women are not people, they're second class or lower. So what's wrong with it? You guys all said, in order to be a good person, you do what the world says, so that's what he does. What's wrong? Are we any better? He thought for himself, and it's very obvious. Look at them. They can't read, they can't write. Everyone knows they're stupid. So I want to open up an answer here. And I want to give you the perspective we have from the Torah. The Torah tells us that no one can figure out what's good and bad. If any person tries to sit down and figure out what's good and bad, you won't get there. Sometimes you'll get it on the head and sometimes not. The only one who could tell you what's good and bad is the one who created the world. If he created the world, he could say, I created this world. And I'm telling you, within this world I created what's good and bad. If you don't have a connection to God, so you'll say it's good to be Jewish, and the next day I'll say it's good to be a Nazi. And go fighting. You know, modern day philosophy has been very busy with this for the last few decades. Is there any way of proving that something is good? And the conclusion they've reached so far is that there is no way to prove that one thing is good and one thing is bad. Everything you guys have said is very nice, but none of you have proven why it's bad to eat another human. Modern day philosophy says you can't. There's no way, no mathematical or logical way to prove that one thing is good or one thing is bad. So if someone's son comes to him and tells him, I want to be a serial killer, so he could come try and convince him from today until tomorrow it's a bad thing to kill people, and the kid will say, why? Maybe it's a bad thing to live. Maybe I'm helping them by helping them end the pain of life. And you cannot prove that any specific action is bad. Just because you wouldn't want to have it done to yourself doesn't mean it's bad. The only one who could say something is good or something is bad is God. When God gave us the Torah, what God was saying is, I created this world, and I know what's good and I know what's bad. That's why even though the world has been evolving and changing over the millennium, Judaism hasn't. The Torah remains a constant. The reason the Torah can remain a constant is because the Torah is the perfect balance. We, on our own, would not be able to attain the perfect balance. The Torah can come and say, this is what you owe that cat in the subway, this is what you don't owe that cat in the subway. There are exact halachas as to what animal cruelty is permitted and what animal cruelty is not. There are exact halachas in this. You open up the Codex, the Shulchan Aruch, it's discussed, it's being discussed. The Torah could tell us a man is prohibited from inflicting any pain upon his wife. Even at a time where the whole world viewed women as an object of their husbands, that a husband could do whatever he wanted, the Torah said not that way. For the last 2 millennia, the world would not give women the right to own land. In Judaism, a woman can own land. A woman is given almost identical monetary rights to a man in the Torah. People don't realize the Torah has been a constant law of fairness throughout civilization. We've been unique. The more you'll study the Torah, the more you'll see it. Today, most of civilization is evolving towards the Torah. So today we live in a time where it's a little bit difficult to discern because civilization has advanced. Just take a step out of today. Just go back 100 years and see what the Torah says. So that's step number one. I want you to think about it. Think about the things we've raised today. We haven't yet discussed, is there a difference between a human and an animal as far as the Torah is concerned, and what is the difference? Are we allowed to eat animals and why, etc.? There's a lot to discuss. But this is just something to think about, because think about the answers you guys gave, and think about this answer. Bezat Hashem, we'll continue next time. Now, remember, our deal was that you come in the morning with questions. You guys didn't show this morning with questions. So get your pens and papers, and get your questions together, and let's talk tomorrow morning. So, enjoy lunch.